Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Christmas, will you stand and join us in worship?
Yes, Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of Emmanuel. Thank you that you loved us so much that you did not want to be without us, that you came near, that we get to celebrate on Christmas, that love has come near to us. God, may we feel that nearness today. God, would you show up in new and unexpected ways, God? Would each and every person here feel the warmth of Christmas, the warmth of your presence? Reminding us that we're not alone, reminding us that you see us, that you know us, that you have not left us, that you have not forgotten us, but that you love us deeply and fully. Jesus, all of this is for you. We worship you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to New Life. Merry Christmas. Hopefully, I'm at least the 300th person that has said that to you today. We hope that you have felt welcome since the second you hit the pavement today, and hopefully stayed a little bit dry. If this is your first time here, welcome. We are so glad that you chose to make us a part of your Christmas tradition this year. We would love to get to know you. We would love to meet you. You can stop by one of Connection Central's. There's two in the lobby right after service. We would love just to have a chance to get to know you, to meet you, and to help you figure out a way that you could plug into the New Life family. And we hope that you will come back. Come back next week on Sunday. This Sunday, we'll have one service at 10 a.m. And then after that, we'll be here every Sunday, 9 and 11. We hope that you will join us and find a way to plug into our church family here. And all of Advent, we have been lighting the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. So I'd like to invite the Hutsko family to light the Christ candle tonight as a symbol that our waiting of Advent is now over. And as we light the Christ candle, would you guys repeat this liturgy with me? I will do the leader part and you guys will do the people part. Got it? Today we light the Christ candle. The light we have been waiting for has come.
Christ, light of the world.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. God has come to dwell with us.
Darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
In Jesus, hope is fulfilled, peace is born, joy is made complete, and love has come near. Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful, Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Grateful cause.
have a seat as we watch this video and just testify to God's goodness.
For me, the darkness can be fear, worrying how I'll provide for my family and what the future will hold.
My darkness wasn't chaos. It was a hard, judgmental heart.
My mom recently got diagnosed with a terminal illness, and it felt like there was no light at the end of the tunnel.
My darkness is being my health.
For over 20 years, my mom and I were estranged. No matter how much joy I had, there was always a darkness I couldn't escape.
I used to cuss and bully other kids and was a hypocrite saying I was a Christian.
A painful divorce left me feeling that I would be walking in darkness as I faced a future by myself after 20 years of marriage.
The darkness in my life is I am the only person in my home that's a Christian.
This year has been full of uncertainty as we've struggled to start a family.
I'm going on 8 years of battling ovarian cancer. When I receive more bad news, the darkness starts to surround me.
Over the last couple of months, I've been in fear of letting go of what was meant to be.
I had to battle something that came back medically.
Over the last 45 days, my wife has been in the hospital, and it has seemed very dark.
I will walk in darkness on this side of heaven, but I have a light.
But I know I don't walk in darkness alone.
But I know that darkness was not something that I needed to live with.
But darkness does sanctify me.
Even though I walk through the darkness, I've seen the light through our church family who prays for us, encourages us, and carries our burdens.
Thankfully, God quickly and continuously reminds me of His light, like watching my mom watch her grandchild sing about joy at church.
I thought I had faith figured out, but God softened me and opened my eyes to see every person as His image bearer. That shift from the judgment to love is my walk into the light.
Through His word, I'm reminded to lay all my fears at His feet. And in the midst of those moments of fear, God reminds me that He is able. He does exceedingly more than all I can ask or imagine. And this has been my testimony time and time again.
And I'm very grateful for the New Life family that kept me positive, kept me smiling through depression.
Then God reminds me that the battle is His, not mine, and the darkness fades away and the light and hope of Jesus shines brightly through.
Now I'm changed, and God has dug me out of a hole that I never thought I could get out of.
I've been leaning into the waiting period and letting God reveal answers to me.
But God restores and heals even the things we think are lost forever. My mom and I now have a new relationship, resurrected from the ashes, thanks to God's goodness and grace.
Our small group, our church, our community have stepped up in a way that only Jesus could be behind it.
But God showed up and filled the void with light and goodness, and He kept His promise that I'm never alone. My faith in a spouse has been replaced with my faith in Jesus, and my insecurity replaced with peace.
I have a lot of people around me who they care for me, they pray for me, like people at the pantry.
Let me tell you, nothing is better than experiencing how much God loves us. He is the light of my life.
I'm assuming that as you think about the words that you just heard, I'm assuming as we actually were sitting in darkness, my assumption is that many of us could relate to the stories that were being told. People who are going through things, fighting battles, facing maybe their first Christmas alone due to loss. Darkness is something that we all experience at some point. But yet darkness has this weird way of kind of making us think that we are alone, that there's no point, there's no hope. We can get into this place of despair and anger, and we start taking things in our own hands. I know there's probably people in here who literally feel like darkness hasn't been a moment, but darkness has been a very, very long season. One where you feel like God doesn't hear you, he doesn't see you, he doesn't know you, or he doesn't care. Darkness is something we just relate to. The thing is that if we stay in this place of darkness for too long, we start believing lies. We start believing that we are not worth it anymore. We start believing that this is as good as it's going to get. And what we find is that our eyes and our hearts start adjusting to the darkness, and we actually accept that it's our norm. Church, I'm here to tell you, like, we are not the first people to experience darkness. We are not the first ones to believe that the world's going downhill and we're going with it. We're not the first ones to believe that God might have forgotten about us or doesn't care. The truth is God loves us so much. He has loved all of creation. The Israelites, when you read about them in the Old Testament, they came to a place where they believed that God had no longer chosen them. They were losing hope. Years, hundreds of years have gone by, and all of a sudden it's like, man, you said you were going to save us. You said you were going to restore us. You said you were going to fulfill your promises. Where are you? I think we can relate to that too. But then God moves. And if you've never heard this before, there isn't a promise that God does not fulfill and that he does not keep. For all people and all creation. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Spirit of God speaks and moves in the midst of a time in which darkness was so thick. And it says this, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. I know that many of us could relate to the stories when the people were talking about the darkness. What I want us to relate to is the testimonies of where the light has broken through. To be able to testify that God did not give up on you. He does not give up on me. He doesn't give up on anybody. But he sent a light to shatter the darkness, to fulfill his promise, and to send us his one and only son. He sees you. He knows you. But are we willing to press in and know him? See, I know some of you are here this morning because your family's dragged you here, and this is what you do every week, every year. We do the Christmas thing. Some of you come to church all the time. But I don't want you to sit in this service and wait for it to just be over. What I would love to challenge you to do is to look for the light, to be engaged in the surface, to literally say, God, I want what your will is for my life. I want to believe that you are moving. I want a savior. I want the light to break the darkness that I've either gotten used to or the darkness that makes me so fearful or makes me believe lies. I want your truth. And so as we go through this service, I pray that each of you will engage in the service. We don't have any kind of like ritual things that you have to do. You do not have to stand. But if you want to stand during the music, if you want to raise your hands, if you want to sing, please do so. But engage. If you listen to all of the teachings, listen for the things that God is speaking to you. He sees you. He hears you. And believe it or not, if we try to engage with the light, if we decide to surrender what we have got going on, he will change and transform the path that you are on, just like he did for the rest of the world. And how? By sending a child to restore and to save us. So the challenge is to engage. Try to figure out why you're here, not just because someone brought you, but you've been waiting this whole time for an answer, for a miracle, to find hope again, to have a relationship restored. Maybe it can happen in this service. Maybe the steps and the light will reveal itself, because I know I serve a God who does not let us down, but he is here amongst us and he sees you and he loves you. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in worship. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 20, is the arrival. Luke begins the Christmas story in a surprising way, not with angels or shepherds, but with a Roman emperor issuing a decree. Caesar orders the world to move, and everyone obeys. But Luke wants us to notice something deeper. While the most powerful ruler on earth is shaping history through control, the creator of heaven and earth is shaping history through humility. Jesus is born not in a palace, but in a small town, placed not in a crib, but in a feeding trough. And Luke is showing us something important. This is how God chooses to work, in humility.
Throughout the Bible, God brings rescue not by overempowering people, but by coming alongside them. This moment fulfills what Scripture has been pointing to. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." God doesn't stay distant. He moves into the neighborhood, as one theologian would say. Then Luke takes us out into the fields where shepherds are keeping watch over their flocks. These are not powerful people. They are ordinary and overlooked people. And that's exactly what God chooses, or who he chooses to speak to. The ordinary, the overlooked. The angel says, "I'll bring you good news of great joy for all people." That phrase, good news, is important because in the ancient world, good news was used to announce a birth of a king. Luke is saying that something bigger than Rome is happening right here. This king is different. It says, "Today in the city of David, a savior has been born to you." A savior, because the story of the Bible is the story of a broken relationship. Humans were meant to trust God, but we choose our independence instead. The result was not just moral failure, but an exile, distant from God's presence. So God begins a rescue plan, not by giving us new rules, but by giving us his own life. And this is the sign the shepherds received from the angel. And it's strange. He says, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." No army, no armor, just vulnerability. Luke wants us to see God's power shows up as self-giving love. This child is the fulfillment of Isaiah's hope. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For to us a child is born, and the government will be on his shoulders." But this government doesn't come through force. It comes through peace. And this government we're talking about is the kingdom of God. When the angels appeared, they sang this new song, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those his favor rests." This idea of peace in the scriptures is this idea of shalom, which means wholeness, restoration, and things being put back together. That's what Jesus came to bring. Shalom. Peace. Wholeness. Restoration. The shepherds go and see. And when they leave, they return praising God. Their lives don't suddenly change, but their place in the story changes. They've seen that God has come near, and that's what salvation in Luke's gospel is all about. Not escaping the world, but being restored within it. Not just forgiveness of sins, but reunion with God's presence. So Christmas Eve is not just a traditional service we do every year. It's an invitation. Not just to remember a story, but to step into this story that God's been writing since Genesis chapter 1. Or even, I should say, prior to Genesis chapter 1. Because the scripture teaches us that before the foundation of the earth was formed, God had a plan to send his son Jesus. Because the same Jesus who was laid in a manger, he would grow up, he would give his life, and rise again to deal with sin and death once and for all. As Jesus himself says later in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, came to seek and save the lost. And if you sense distance between you and God tonight, the story of Christmas is saying this right here. Pay attention. God has already moved towards you. We can't earn our way to God. What we do in this Christmas season is we receive this gift of forgiveness. And in exchange, we give him our life in repentance. One amen in the room. Amen. Salvation begins not with striving, but with trust. With simply saying yes to the God who has come near in the person of Jesus. And as I close, I want you to reflect on the Christmas story. May you leave tonight knowing that the God of the universe has chosen to dwell with his people. Church, listen to me. This is the wonder of Christmas. The eternal Son has stepped into time. A holy God has drawn near to sinners. The Savior has come not to condemn the world, as John 3:17 would say, but to save the world through himself. May the peace announced to the shepherds take root in your hearts. And may the story of Jesus, from the manger to the cross to resurrection, shape the way you see God, see yourself, and see the world. This is the Christmas story. And as we go into our next song, I want you to reflect on the person of Christ. Because some of you in this room, you have brought people in this room that are not followers of Jesus. We know, we experience the reality of Christmas and Easter, right? Sometimes we will only get dapper, put on a red bow tie just for Christmas and Easter. And we will, as Pastor will say later, we'll be drunk to the church to sit in a comfy seat. And yet, the Christmas story is for you. People that have brought you, I'm assuming, have been praying for you. Earlier this year, we had some people write some names on the cards, believing God would enter into their story and bring them back to Himself. And I'm hoping that tonight, some of you who are sitting in these seats right here, you have been invited for a purpose. Because we have the best news, which is supposed to bring great joy to all people, not just those who are lost, not those who are religious, not just those who think they can be made right with God by coming to church on a Christmas and Easter, not those people who will give a tithe and offering in the collection box, not those who will just come and serve on a crew or a team, but to all people, to the lost, but also to the found. And the scriptures declare to us in the Christmas story that God is with us. It's not an idea. It's not a theory. It's not a tweet. It's not something trending online. This is reality. No other God in history, hear me, no other God in history, may I add, no other false God in history has ever come out of glory and into human existence. Our God, in the person of Jesus, has put on a skin suit, if you will, lived a life, a perfect life that you and I could not live. He died a death that we should have died. And yet, the most beautiful thing about the Christmas story is that His birth actually points to His death. It points to His resurrection. We don't serve a God that's dead. We serve a God that is alive and active, moving in hearts and minds. And what He does is, we've seen from the shepherds, is that when they remember who they are, the outcasts, the ones that are just ordinary, just like you and me, when they encounter the Christ child, they leave different. And that's our prayer today, is that those in this room, that you would experience the goodness of God, because the goodness of God leads people to repentance. Repentance is this idea that you are going in one direction, you turn from yourself, you turn from your sin, and you turn towards a holy God. Because of His goodness, we have right relationship with Him and each other. So as the band leads us in this song, come on, band. Because I need to get up off the stage. We're going to sing a song called Mary, Did You Know? And the cool thing about this is we know in 2025 who Jesus the Savior is, who Jesus the Lord is, who Jesus the Messiah is. And so I want to encourage you during this song, use this song to reflect on the goodness of God. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. I want to invite you to kneel at your chair. I want to invite you to stay seated in your chair. I want to invite you to come to the altars. Because what we just heard requires a response. Amen? Amen. So let's sing this song.
Baby boy, save our sons and daughters. have a seat. A promise declared by a prophet would find its fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus' very mission was to enter into this world, and I imagine as people were gathering around this manger as we envision it around this time of year, that maybe they didn't fully realize that Jesus' mission was going to be to push back darkness and to usher in the light, to push back the brokenness of this world and the sin of this world and the disease of this world and the heartache of this world and the suffering of this world, and to usher in God's original plan for all creation when he said it is good. And so, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to see that vision. Sometimes it's hard to see that mission because the darkness just feels so thick. But early on in the book of John, we're reminded that when Jesus comes, that it says this, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. But sometimes we need that reminder. Sometimes we need to encourage each other with these types of words and remind ourselves that Jesus is ushering in the light in the midst of what feels really heavy and feels really difficult. In fact, just a little over a week ago, some of us gathered together and we went Christmas caroling. It's been a minute since I went Christmas caroling, and it was so much fun to be able to go and just encourage people. And we went from house to house and visited several people, and quite honestly, what they are experiencing is the darkness of sickness, the darkness of cancer. And so as we gathered there, we would sing through these Christmas carols and tears would begin to stream down their faces and the encouragement and the joy would fill them. It felt a little bit ironic to gather with people who, for some, things look bleak, and to sing the words, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." But as we were singing this, I don't know who made up the word sheets that we were using, but they put in our word sheets verse 3. Yeah, you didn't know there was a verse 3. Like, nobody sings verse 3. And yet, as we began to sing, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the verse we should be singing. Let me sing it for you. It says this, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found." Quite honestly, it could be sung like this. His light can be found as far as darkness is found. Wherever darkness is, his light is breaking through. That's good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now you might be asking, but how? Like, how does it begin to shine in the darkness? Well, God had this wild idea that those who trust in Jesus and receive his gift of salvation would also be filled with his Spirit. And when you're filled with his Spirit, that you would go into all the world and you would enter into dark spaces. And every place where you entered, under the authority of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, and with words empowered by the Spirit, that you would declare that the light has come and his name is Jesus. This is good news. In fact, Jesus, when he was preaching one of his most famous sermons, said it this way, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But maybe it's been a minute since you felt that you were like partnering with Jesus and ushering in the light. And you're like, okay, how do I actually do this? Well, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking like, we need to be door holders. Stay with me, I know it sounds odd. But have you ever been in a dark room where somebody cracked open a door and all of a sudden light from outside that room like rushed inside? And I begin to think like, that's what we need to do. Like so many times you have people like, I wanna be spectacular for God. I wanna be this for God. I wanna be that for God. No. Be a door holder. And this solidified for me even more when I was watching a TikTok video, because that's what we do in 2025. And so I'm watching this, I'm like, this kid gets it, because this kid was trying out to be a part of his church play, and they gave him a role, and he was so excited about it. Check out this video.
Guess what I am for the nativity? I'm a classic one.
Classic role, is it? Classic part?
Yeah.
Joseph?
No.
One of the three wise men?
No.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing. Holding doors for who?
Probably Joseph and Mary.
Oh, my gosh. Were you pleased when they said that?
And I was like, I'm a door holder. Get in there. Let's go. Yeah. I'll have to wear, like, brown.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Excellent. That's really smart, Milo.
Be a door holder. Get in there. That's what we're called to do. To walk into the darkest spaces, to walk into places where there is no hope, and to open up the door so that the light of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus can shine through into those spaces. Get in there and hold a door. And as we do that, as every one of us enters into those spaces, what we begin to do is we begin to reveal the kingdom of God a little bit more around this world until eventually Jesus returns and he makes all things new. Eventually, it won't be us holding open doors. It will be his glory that is filling this earth. And everybody will be worshiping him and glorifying. And he will make all things new. He will restore all of creation. You see, sometimes I think that we forget that it's great to remember Jesus coming as a baby, but it's also important this same time of year to have expectant hope of Jesus' return. That we would look forward to when Jesus returns and make all things new. And so as we conclude and sing some of these final songs together, I want to remind us to look forward, to be one of those people who is holding a door so that Jesus' light might shine through. To be one of those people who is expecting with hopeful expectation for Jesus' return.
When he all pass away.
Heavenly Father, it has been so good to gather in your presence. It's been so good to be reminded that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son into this world, God. But it's also been so good to remind us, God, that we can wait with expectation and hope upon your return. God, you entered into this world to push back darkness and usher in the light. And we thank you for who you are and what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a family tradition around here at New Life that our final song, we sing Silent Night. And so I just invite you to stand right where you are and grab your candle. And as we sing here in a moment, it's, again, it's like we're growing up. That's what my family would do. We'd gather around the piano. My dad's a choral conductor, and he would play the piano, and we would sing along with him. And there's just something good and right about declaring who Jesus is. And I want to remind you of just a couple of things. We'll light the candles from front to back here in a moment, but if you could do me a favor, just light the person who's next to you, not the person who's behind you, because we don't want any hair catching on fire along the way. And so, let's quiet our hearts and turn our affections and our desires and our lives towards Jesus.
With the
The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not, will not overcome it. Would you receive this final benediction? As you go, while you might extinguish these candles here in a moment, carry the light of Jesus everywhere you go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you.